We shall read a verse from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 10, text 9. This verse was suggested by His Holiness Indradumya Swami because we are the Sadhu Sangha retreat. And he thought it would be appropriate to discuss what sadhus do when they get together. And that is explained in this verse. Majjita madgata prana.
Majjita madgata prana.
Bodhayanta parasparam. Katayantas chamam nityam.
Katayantas chamam nityam.
Tushyanti cha ramanti cha.
Tushyanti cha ramanti cha.
Machita.
Machita.
Their minds fully engaged in me. Madgata prana. Their lives devoted to me. Bodhayanta. Preaching. Parasparam. Among themselves. Katayanta. Talking. Cha. Also, mam, about me, nityam, perpetually, tushyanti, become pleased, cha, also, ramanti, enjoy transcendental bliss.
Enjoy transcendental
cha. Also. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Pure devotees, whose characteristics are mentioned here, engage themselves fully in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. Their talks are solely on the transcendental subjects. The symptoms of the pure devotees are described in this verse specifically. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take pleasure in discussing Him with other devotees. In the preliminary stage of devotional service, they relish the transcendental pleasure from the service itself. And in the mature stage, they are actually situated in love of God. Once situated in that transcendental position, they can relish the highest perfection which is exhibited by the Lord in his abode. Lord Chaitanya likens the transcendental devotional service to the sowing of a seed in the heart of the living entity. There are innumerable living entities traveling throughout the different planets of the universe. And out of them, there are a few who are fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee and get the chance to understand devotional service. This devotional service is just like a seed. And if it is sown in the heart of a living entity, and if he goes on hearing and chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, that seed fructifies, just as the seed of a tree fructifies with regular watering. The spiritual plant of devotional service gradually grows and grows until it penetrates the covering of the material universe and enters the Brahma Jyotir effulgence in the spiritual sky. In the spiritual sky also, that plant grows more and more until it reaches the highest planet, which is called Goloka Vrindavan, the supreme planet of Krishna. Ultimately, the plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna and rests there. Gradually, as a plant grows fruits and flowers, that plant of devotional service also produces fruits. And the watering process in the form of chanting and hearing goes on. This plant of devotional service is fully described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 19. It is explained there that when the complete plant takes shelter on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, one becomes fully absorbed in love of God. Then he cannot live even for a moment without being in contact with the Supreme Lord, just as a fish cannot live without water. In such a state, the devotee actually attains the transcendental qualities in contact with the Supreme Lord. The Srimad Bhagavatam is also full of such narrations about the relationship between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is very dear to the devotees, as stated in the Bhagavatam itself, 12.13.18. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. In this narration, there is nothing about material activities, economic development, sense gratification, or liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam is the only narration in which the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord and his devotees is fully described. Thus, the realized souls in Krishna consciousness take continual pleasure in hearing such transcendental literatures, just as a young boy and girl take pleasure in association. Translation again. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. From this verse, we can understand how important and necessary is the association of devotees. By the association of devotees, one gets the seed of devotional service, bhakti lata bij. The seed of devotional service is the idea of devotional service, and oh, is there a doctor in the house? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Maharaj, can we get some sort of report? Any of the doctors? Oh.
She may be in a seizure, we call 911. She should be
okay. Mother Guru Bhakti, is a very experienced doctor, says that he should be okay. She should be okay. They've called 911, maybe a seizure. But it is a, I take it as a timely reminder that anything can happen at any time. And so we should not be complacent. When I first became acquainted with Madhava Prabhu's kirtans.
She's stable, and we called 911. So the doctors at the airfield, they can go on with the glass. She's stable, she's just having a seizure. And there's four or five doctors there. So 911's been called, and the doctors feel that you can go on with the class.
Okay. Maharaj says she's stable. There are four or five doctors with her, and they've called 911, and I should go on with the class. But, yeah, so, yeah, I had not heard Madhava Prabhu's kirtans, and when I finally did, I realize that he could just sing the same melody for hours with complete absorption. And one devotee asked him, what is in your consciousness while you're singing? And he replied that I sing each mantra as if it were the last mantra that I would sing. In other words, as if the time of death had come and this is it. This is the last mantra I'm ever going to chant. And so I put everything into it. And that really is how we should engage in devotional service, whatever the activity is, as if it may be our last opportunity, and put everything we have into it. But in ordinary course, there's a procedure, and the procedure is described in many places, and in one place in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But that procedure is based on chanting and hearing about Krishna in the association of devotees, which is what we are meant to do. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. By the mercy of Guru and Krishna, one gets the seed of devotional service. Then one should become a mali, a gardener, and plant that seed within one's heart. And then one should water that seed by Shravana Kirtana. And by that watering, the seed will germinate and grow. But there is a possibility that weeds may sprout up alongside the devotional creeper. And those weeds are material desires. Desires for bhukti, material enjoyment, and mukti, impersonal liberation. And sometimes those weeds very closely resemble the devotional creeper, and it's hard to distinguish between the two. A note here, the patient is okay, just resting now. So here too, the association of devotees is so important, because if we are inexperienced, we may not be able to distinguish between the devotional creeper and the unwanted creeper. And if we have any doubt, we can consult the devotees. And if we're properly associating with devotees, they themselves, if they have that relationship with us, they can point out something to us for our benefit. Because if we water, we can be chanting and hearing, but that the water of the chanting and hearing can be taken by these weeds of material desires, and the weeds will become powerful and the devotional creeper will become weakened. Now, there's another danger. This is called Patimata, the maddened elephant. One can very carefully tend one's garden, but if a maddened elephant enters it, the elephant can uproot the creepers and create complete havoc. So the mad elephant is Vaishnava aparad. We need to associate with Vaishnavas, but at the same time, be careful not to offend them. And here in particular, the offense means to stop them. Or the offense will give rise to stopping chanting and hearing. Sometimes it happens. After some years of devotional service, devotees stop chanting and hearing regularly. That can be due to an offense. So how do we protect our garden, our devotional creeper, from the maddened elephant? Lord Chaitanya explains that we have to put a fence around it. And what is the fence? The fence is the circle of pure devotees. If we always stay in the circle of pure devotees, we will be protected from the mad elephant of offense, of breaking the regulative principles and stopping the chanting and hearing about Krishna. So, we in the Krishna consciousness movement have many activities that are related to the distribution of Krishna consciousness. And so we have to discuss how to spread Krishna consciousness. And that's also part of the process. But within that process, we have to be careful to maintain direct chanting and hearing about Krishna. Otherwise, we can become weak. As Srila Prabhupada said, distributing my books will keep them happy, the devotees. And reading my books will keep them. We need to do both. Once in Calcutta, a very instructive event took place. The Calcutta temple was very poor. I mean, most of the temples in India in the early days were very poor. And Srila Prabhupada also instituted a program called Life Membership. And that was our main activity, to enroll life members. But Srila Prabhupada did not allow the devotees to use the collection from life membership for maintenance. It was to be divided 50% for the book fund and 50% for the building fund. And there was one devotee in Calcutta named Sudama Vipra, who had quite a strong body by nature. I think he might have been a Hell's Angel before he joined. But he was so famished that after the arti, when the ghee lamp was extinguished, he would take the ghee wicks and try to squeeze like not even drops, but just a little bit of ghee to nourish his body. And the temple president, I guess was trying to develop income from an incense business, and he spent a lot of time on that business. And the devotees felt, neglected. So, and they were just waiting for Srila Prabhupada to come. And when he did come, one by one devotees complained to him about the situation. So he called a meeting of all the devotees. And he listened to all the complaints of all the devotees with great sympathy. And he suggested that there should be some officers, they should meet every week and discuss how to deal with all the issues and enter their decisions in a minute book and sign it and then do what they decided. But then Srila Prabhupada's mood seemed to change. And he said that actually it's not good to spend too much time thinking and talking about material arrangements. Because our tendency is to talk about material things. But rather, we should utilize our time to chant and hear about Krishna. Otherwise, we will become weak in devotional service. And then Srila Prabhupada spoke about himself. And he said that throughout his life, his motto was always, everything for Krishna and nothing for me. And because of that principle, he never complained. He described how he suffered. It was a great endeavor for him just to get passage from India to America. And then on the boat, he suffered two heart attacks. And even when he got to America, he suffered so many physical ailments, But as he told us, he never complained. Because his motto was always everything for Krishna and nothing for me. And that is pure devotional service, as we've been hearing and discussing. Recently, I read in Yamuna Devi's book, or I should say Dinatarini Devi's book about Yamuna Devi, her recollection of that meeting with Srila Prabhupada in Calcutta. And I would like to read from it. It's very short, but it's very instructive. Yamuna Devi says, when we were in Calcutta near the end of 1971, the temple was in low consciousness. Respect, she's indicating how the relationships among devotees should be conducted. Respect, honor, generosity, affection, and consideration were all at a low point. And the real and tangible nature of Krishna consciousness was not very evident. So Srila Prabhupada called the devotees together to his room. One woman devotee was really upset. She was in bad consciousness, so she didn't come to the room. Prabhupada immediately noticed her absence and said, "Where is such and such devotee?" One brahmachari said something to the effect that she had gone off somewhere in a stew. That means, well, she was upset. Or something like that. And Prabhupada looked at the brahmachari and said, "Go find her." Shocked, the brahmachari said, "But I'm a brahmachari. A woman should go find her." And Srila Prabhupada again said, "Go find her." The brahmachari said, "But I have no idea where she is in the whole of Calcutta." Of course, she wasn't far away. She was across the street chanting her rounds by the lake in front of the temple. Anyway, he found her and brought her to the room. The mood was very sober, but Srila Prabhupada wanted to hear from everyone. He went around the room and asked each devotee what they thought was wrong in the temple. And each person gave his or her realization, and everyone else listened. Then Srila Prabhupada spoke. And listen very attentively to what he said. He said that we were all there because he had followed the instructions of his Guru Maharaj and come to the West. And then he added with great emphasis, "Do you think it was easy for me to leave India all alone and come to America?" None of us had really thought like that whether it was easy or hard. We had just assumed that he had done it by Krishna's mercy. Then he continued, "Do you think it was easy for me when I was in Butler, Pennsylvania, and I opened the refrigerator and there was cat food next to my vegetables? Do you think that was easy?" The devotees almost began to cry because they began to understand what Prabhupada had done for us, and it hadn't been easy. He had come from a place where his mother was carried in a palanquin from one house to another. He was from another culture, almost like another planet. And yet he had come to the West with a trunk full of books and $7 worth of rupees. We knew the prayers he had wrote on the Jaladutta, some of the most beautiful things that Prabhupada ever wrote, where he talks to Krishna and prays to Krishna. He told us to try to understand that Krishna consciousness would not always be easy. And then he said, three things are required for success in Krishna consciousness, and you must always rely on them. Enthusiasm, will or determination, and patience. So, what Srila Prabhupada said then is true now. We are here because he followed the instruction of his Guru Maharaj and came by steamship, by freighter, to America, to Boston and New York. And as we heard so beautifully expressed yesterday, he wanted only that we accept what he came to give us. And what he came to give us was the holy name and Srimad Bhagavatam and the association of devotees, primarily. And the whole subject matter for chanting and hearing about Krishna is contained in Srimad Bhagavatam. We heard yesterday how Lord Chaitanya is the personified Bhagavatam. His life is the personification of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he is the ideal preacher of Srimad Bhagavatam. When I was in Calcutta, perhaps not that particular visit, but I had been trying to understand what Srila Prabhupada really wanted, what would really please him, because he had so many programs. But somehow, after observing, I had a thought, what really pleases him. And one day when he was taking his massage on the balcony, I approached him. And I said, "Srila Prabhupada, I've been thinking about what really pleases you." And he, like such an ocean of love and compassion and mercy, so he looked at me with great love and compassion and wanted to hear what I had to say. And I said, the two things that seem to please you most are if we build a big temple in Mayapur and if we distribute your books. And he smiled very broadly and confirmed my little thought. But of course, it's understood that those activities are based on our personal chanting and hearing about Krishna. Our chanting of our 16 rounds following the regulative principles, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and so on. Now, because Srimad Bhagavatam is the basis of our association, the basis of our Krishna Katha, Srila Prabhupada considered his life's work to translate Srimad Bhagavatam. And so we should take advantage of that gift. I mean, he would stay up at night and translate. You might know. He would only sleep 2 hours and then he would get up and translate. So we should make his effort fruitful by studying Srimad Bhagavatam. And, well, it's hard to avoid making note of the fact that we have sets of Srimad Bhagavatam available here. And these, Srimad Bhagavatam in and of itself is, you know, Amala Purana, the spotless Purana, dear to the Vaishnavas. But these sets contain an extra blessing, because each set that you buy here, buy means, well, I mean, whatever we give for it is just, you can't even calculate the value of what we're getting. So each set has a blessing. May the beautiful verses of Srimad Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada's extraordinary purports awaken pure love for Krishna within your heart and guide you back to Godhead. And then the page is signed by many of the pure devotees, the sadhus who are here at the Sadhu Sangha retreat. So it's a bit like a collector's item. But this is how we should spend our time. And when Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan in his last days, lying on his bed, one of the very last purports that he dictated, some of you might have seen the photos, just lying, emaciated, on his bed, and the devotees were holding the microphone very close to his mouth. His Holiness Jayadwaita Swami was there, and others. And Srila Prabhupada said, discuss Srimad Bhagavatam as much as possible. The more you discuss, the more the subject becomes clarified. And then he quoted Mahamuni Krite, that it was compiled by Srila Vyasadeva in his maturity. So we are completely, we're completely dependent on the devotees. Because in the association of devotees, we can chant the holy name and discuss Srimad Bhagavatam and made plans to spread Krishna consciousness. And as our acharyas have prayed, if I have to take birth again, let me take birth in the home of a devotee who has no other desire but to serve Krishna. And somehow spiritually we've all taken birth in Srila Prabhupada's home, ISKCON. He built a house in which everyone could live. And we should value every moment that we have alive in this home, and value all the pure devotees in this household, and hold on to their lotus feet and pray for their mercy that they'll always keep us with them and engage us in chanting and hearing about Krishna and serving Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara and the Panchatattva, ultimately Radha and Krishna. Hare Krishna.